This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. Today you'll hear about the outcome of our Psalm Singh arrests, a quick tour of election fraud, Crazy Town, Parler sues Amazon, Twitter censors the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, but not for what you might expect. A new study shows COVID immunity lasts, and we remember the Dodger great, Tommy Lasorda. If you have a news story you think we might need to cover, please send articles and links to news@crosspolitic.com. Two national events this year, Fight, Laugh, Feast Rally in Rapid City, South Dakota, April 29, 30, and May 1st, and the Fight, Laugh, Feast Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October, I think I said 1st through the 3rd last time. It's not that. It's later in October. It's like 15, 16, 17 or something like that. It's probably on the website. Gabe, I love you. Why a rally in South Dakota in April? Because we want to stand with Kristi Noem, the only governor in the union, to read the Constitution. We also want to encourage you, wherever you are. Many churches are not meeting. Many Christians feel all alone, but you're not alone. So the theme of the rally in South Dakota is love God, sing psalms, defy tyrants, and that's what we want to do. Gather with like-minded Christians who love freedom, confess Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and be equipped to stand firm in these insane days. Go to flfnetwork.com/rally and register today. City of Moscow, Idaho admits mistake in arrests at Psalm Singh. Remember when we were arrested for singing psalms? The Moscow City Code, turns out, gives the mayor the authority to issue emergency orders, but it also provides default exemptions, specifically rights listed in the U.S. Constitution. How about that? So this means that gathering for political and religious reasons, First Amendment reasons, are automatically exempt from emergency orders unless otherwise stipulated. Seems the mayor and city council did not read the city code carefully. City Supervisor Gary Reedner said the omission by city staff to include the specific language that would include the expressive and associative activities is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that the emergency order didn't include banning the First Amendment. Anyways, it's also unfortunate, apparently, that it resulted in confusion. Reedner apologized for the confusion. City Attorney Batista recommended the city investigate the city codes and make adjustments to the mask order. She said, in addition, the mayor and city council have directed the staff to prepare recommended amendments to the Moscow City Code to address these issues. We don't want people taking advantage of their First Amendment rights without our permission. Let's now turn to Crazy Town. General McInerney, something like that, claims some good guys stole Pelosi's laptop during the mob and riot in the U.S. Capitol.
And they're trying to get him out on the 25th Amendment or to impeach him. Why? Well, because on Wednesday, they took Pelosi's laptop. She's frantic. There were some people in there that were special forces mixed with Antifa, and they took her laptop and they had that data. Because they have that data. I believe they also have a source that is talking like a songbird. And the president is going to spring that person on us, so it will completely change, because it is someone that has said, I'm not going to do this. This is treason.
And so that's why she wants to impeach him now, because they've got her laptop and there's incriminating evidence on it proving the election was stolen or something. But wait, there's more. Have you heard of Italygate yet?
So basically, the the theft of the election was orchestrated in the Rome Embassy on the second floor of Via Veneto by an employee, Stefan Serafini, Foreign Service officer of over 20 years. He retired the day before the election to ensure he would not lose his pension, unlike what happened to some of the FBI agents who betrayed our country in 2016 and did lose their pension just days before their retirement. So Stefan Serafini coordinated with a General Claudio Graziano. And Claudio Graziano, General Graziano, is on the board of Leonardo, the defense contractor, Leonardo S.P.A. Leonardo used their military satellite uplink to load the software and transfer it over to change the votes from Trump to Biden. So what everybody's been saying is that we know something happened. The proof that was missing, the very basic who did it, where did they do it, and how did they do it, has been missing from all of the documents sent into the courts, all of the affidavits. There was nothing that was helping us win in the courts. They thought that they were very shrewd in how they did it. They had a really brilliant plan that was orchestrated by Barack Obama with the help of Renzi, the former prime minister of Italy.
So that's Maria Zolo Zach. And all of that data that she says that they did, the thing they did in Italy with the satellites, that was stored on the servers in Germany where they did the raid. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I mean, this is crazy town. But I mean, we live in crazy town, but that's crazy town. However, USA Today says these claims are all baseless. USA Today says they are also all these claims are easily contradicted by statements from multiple federal officials who have found no proof of electoral fraud. Okay, it's absolute statements like that that give me the willies. No proof at all of electoral fraud anywhere. On November 12th, the National Coalition of Election Security Officials announced that, quote, there is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. Okay. Goes on. All the states with close results in the 2020 presidential race have paper records of each vote, allowing the ability to go back and count each ballot if necessary, they wrote. This is an added benefit for security and resilience. This process allows for the identification and correction of any mistakes or errors. See, that's a little bit more of a very, like that kind of statement makes me feel a little bit better. So that they recognize there might be mistakes, there might be errors, but we can check it against the paper ballots. USA Today, Reuters, PolitiFact, and the Associated Press have debunked these particular claims of the general and Miss Zach. Most spikes were caused by the late-counted absentee ballots, says USA Today, which tended to skew Democratic or left-leaning counties that released results in large batches. USA Today also says that the claims made in these videos are also easily disproven. For example, the theory relies on the notion that votes were changed via satellite, software, or the internet. But hand recounts of paper ballots have confirmed election results in at least one contested state and locality. In Georgia, officials performed a week-long statewide audit of paper ballots that affirmed a narrow victory for Biden. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said the audit, quote, reaffirmed that the state's new secure paper ballot voting system accurately counted and reported results. A hand tally of every vote cast for president in Antrim County, Michigan, also confirmed that its machine-tabulated results were correct per the Detroit Free Press. Out of 15,962 votes cast, the hand recount showed a net gain of 12 votes for Trump, who won the county but lost the state. Multiple details in the videos are also inaccurate, saith USA Today. General Claudio Graziano, mentioned by Ms. Zach, is not listed as a member of the board of directors at Leonardo, per its website. Graziano serves as the chairman of the European Union Military Committee, per website run by the European Union. And we trust whatever the European Union website says. Employees of Leonardo were arrested on December 5th. That much is true, but they were arrested for their alleged role in hacking the company's computers to steal sensitive information between 2015 and 2017, per Reuters. If you go on in the video, I didn't play this part of the video, it goes on to allege that they were arrested for safekeeping because of the election scandal thing. And there was no raid of election servers in Germany, saith USA Today. USA Today says it has previously debunked that theory, since the U.S. Army denied performing such a raid, and the company whose purported servers were seized didn't even have servers in Germany. Well, there you go. Proponents of Italygate have also claimed that the news media in Italy has covered the scandal. Right, that's actually Ms. Zach references that several times. However, according to leadstories.com, Italian news feeds do not carry anything, any references at all to any of these claims. Somebody who knows Italian, would you check on it? And would you email us news@crossbaltic.com? Are there any stories in the Italian news about election fraud and the Leonardo and the satellites and the German servers? We need to know. Okay. Is CrossPolitik a blessing to you? One of the most significant ways you can help us is by sharing this news brief, or if you'd rather not share this one, you know, one like it, one that you liked, and your favorite show with someone you think would appreciate it. Tell someone about the Fight Laugh Feast app so they can download it too. And last of all, become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. We want to grow the Fight Laugh Feast network into a full-blown news and entertainment network coming at you 24/7 with truth, goodness, and beauty. And I know that that might seem like, you know, a lot, 24/7 and all, but just think about the number of people, hopefully, we could bless bringing the Lordship of Jesus Christ to every area of life. And thanks to all of you very, very much who have already shared our content, have already become club members. We are so grateful for you. Parler has sued Amazon. Social media platform Parler has sued Amazon.com, Inc., period, after the tech giant abruptly ended web hosting services to the company, effectively halting its operation. This is from the Wall Street Journal. In a complaint filed Monday in Seattle federal court, Parler alleged that Amazon Web Services kicked the company off its cloud servers for political and anti-competitive reasons. The conservative social network, founded in 2018, exploded in popularity among supporters of President Trump after the November U.S. election. AWS's decision, that's Amazon, to effectively terminate Parler's account is apparently motivated by political animus. It is also apparently designed to reduce competition in the microblogging services market to the benefit of Twitter, according to the complaint, which also accused Amazon of breaching a contract between the parties. Amazon said Saturday that it would cut off Parler because it wasn't confident in its ability to sufficiently police content on its platform that incites violence. The company said, while it would no longer provide web services to Parler after Sunday at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, it would preserve the platform's data and help it migrate to different servers. How very kind and considerate of you. In its complaint, Parler also accused Amazon of applying a double standard than with other platforms, noting that Twitter had recently signed a multi-year web hosting deal with the company. But, don't worry. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's tweet has been censored by Twitter. It's not a double standard. Twitter has removed a COVID-19 tweet posted by Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. What did he do? He called the vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccines being imported from the US and the UK, completely untrustworthy. So here's the thing. The chief leader, the head leader, the supreme leader, shall we call him, of Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, in the past has called for genocide in Israel through the elimination of Zionists. And there's still tweets with that kind of expression still up on his account today. And that was not censored. But when the supreme leader of Iran says that the COVID-19 vaccines imported from the US or the UK are completely untrustworthy, that will get you censored. Well, there you have it. It's not unlikely they would want to contaminate other nations, the tweet said in a reference to these two countries, the US and the UK. It also said that the vaccines from France are not trustworthy. Yeah, there you go. Anyways, it raises questions as to why certain leaders such as Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and Saudi Arabia's King Salman bin Abdulaziz Ali Said all still have access to their Twitter accounts, calling for, again, the elimination of Zionists and genocide in Israel and other, you know, standard Quranian sorts of desires. The Red Crescent in Iran said it will not import the massive stash of the Pfizer vaccine that benefactors from America have planned to donate to the country. However, they will receive some vaccines from other more trusted sources. Facebook and Twitter are hemorrhaging investors. I can't imagine why. Facebook sank as much as 4.5% on Monday as investors continue to balk at the platform's ban of President Donald Trump. The slide saw $33.6 billion erased from Facebook's market cap at intraday lows. Shares have since pared some losses and now trade about 2.6% lower. So it popped up a little bit after a little while. The stock's decline comes as Wall Street reconciles with the president's role in encouraging supporters to storm the Capitol on Wednesday. I don't think that's quite right, Mr. MarketsBusinessInsider.com. He didn't exactly tell them to storm the Capitol. He might have been a little bit, Trumpian with his language, but not that. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced on Thursday the company would ban Trump indefinitely, adding the risks of allowing him to remain on the platform are simply too great. Twitter, which permanently banned Trump last Friday, also underperformed the broader market slump on Monday. The downturn saw the communication services stocks drop more than any other S&P 500 sector. While Facebook is far from the only platform to ban Trump, it is among the largest to do so. Investors likely fear that the move will lead pro-Trump users to boycott the website and congregate elsewhere. Shock. Right-wing social media platform Parler was poised to take in such users until Amazon removed the website from its hosting service. San Diego research says COVID immunity lasts. A new study by researchers at the La Jolla Institute of Immunology found nearly all COVID-19 survivors retain immune cells that can fight reinfection for at least 8 months and likely longer. The findings, based on analyses of blood samples from 188 COVID-19 patients, suggest that responses to the virus from the body's immune system can last for at least 8 months after the onset of symptoms from the initial infection. Our data suggests that the immune response is there and it stays, says Dr. Alessandro Sette, who co-led the study with Dr. Shane Crotty and research assistant Dr. Daniela Weisskopf. We measured antibodies, memory B cells, helper T cells, and killer T cells all at the same time, said Crotty. As far as we know, this is the largest study ever for an acute infection that has measured all four of those components of immune memory. The findings published in the January 6th online edition of Science mean that COVID-19 survivors could have protective immunity against the coronavirus for months and perhaps years after infection. The team cautioned that protective immunity varies dramatically from person to person. People with weak immune system memory may be vulnerable to a case of recurrent COVID-19 or may be more likely to infect others. There are some people that are way down at the bottom of how much immune memory they have, and maybe those people are a lot more susceptible to reinfection, said Crotty. The researchers will continue to analyze samples from COVID-19 patients in the coming months and hope to track their responses 12 to 18 months after the onset of symptoms. Last of all, but not least, we remember Tommy Lasorda, the Dodger great manager who died last Thursday, January 7th. Listen.
Did you give me any time to come out here?
I mean, this is a World Series. You got to give me a little time.
You want the left-hander or the
right-hander? Which one would you bring in, Dutch, if you were the manager?
Ball club. The right-hander.
Well, I'm bringing in the left-hander.
What do you think I should do, take him out or leave him in? All right, I'm going to take him in.
And with two out, you talk about a roll of the dice. This is it. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Nobody thought we could win the division. Nobody thought we could beat the Mighty Mets.
No.
Nobody thought we could beat the team who won 104 games.
Nobody
believes it.
This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my lifetime. And I feel that it won't be too long that my mother will be shaking me and saying, "Wake up, Tommy. It's time to go to school. I am living a dream." Thank you.
When I pass on, I want this on my tombstone. Dodger Stadium was his address, but every ballpark was his home. And he loved the game of baseball.
Tommy Lasorda, thanks for all the memories and rest in peace. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight, Laugh, Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight, Laugh, Feast club member and get your very own Fight, Laugh, Feast t-shirt and access to all the talks from our first annual Fight, Laugh, Feast conference, as well as many exclusive behind-the-scenes interviews and our very own Worldview Shotgun series. We still have a few Fight, Laugh, Feast tumblers left for club members at that $25 a month gift or more. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and have a great day.